We're on the telephone with Eric Helland of Johnston, Iowa. Eric is a state representative in Iowa and also is House Majority Whip in the Iowa legislature. And Eric is also involved with a fairly new coalition organization called Protect the Harvest, which, according to the website, says it's dedicated to educating Americans about the growing threat posed by the radical animal rights fringe. Well, Eric, let's talk about Protect the Harvest first of all. You said you kind of came together, late last year?
Yeah, and thanks for talking to me, Ken. We started coming together here in the last few months, last year, when we have a group of policymakers and interested individuals in animal agriculture and rural lifestyle that have seen an onslaught of legislation, market pressure, and smear campaigns from HSUS. And there's been a recognition from us that we've got to start taking the fight to them and playing offense from the ag perspective rather than just sitting back and being lulled into defense.
So tell me about your interests here. I understand you come from an ag background.
Yeah, I grew up on a seventh generation farm. And to put it in stark terms, if people like Wayne Baselli and HSUS have it their way, there is no eighth generation. My dad, uncle, cousin, and brother still farm in northern Polk County. In my district, I have things like John Deere Credit, Pioneer Hybrid, the largest builder of turkey buildings in the world. The reality is, in a state like Ag and Nebraska, or a state like Iowa and Nebraska, Wisconsin, Texas, these states are becoming, their legislatures are becoming increasingly suburban, which makes there's distance between the legislative process and food production. And people in the suburban areas have got to be educated on where their food comes from, how their food is produced, because if the ag sector doesn't stand up for itself and define itself and say, this is how your food is produced, the radicals from HSUS will, and that will ultimately be very detrimental, not just to the ag industry, but to everyone, as the price of food will just skyrocket.
So I got to ask, how is Protect the Harvest different from a lot of the other groups that are out there trying to carry on this fight, Eric? Are you taking a different approach?
Well, a lot of it centers around the group that fought back against Proposition B down in Missouri. So this group has had success, and we are willing to play more aggressively. I think in the past, a lot of groups have been willing to play defense and do everything they can once an initiative has been brought to the legislature, and I think they've done a great job. Where our concern is, in the long run, we've got to go on the offense. We've got to start staking out ag turf and making HSUS justify their attack on rural America. I won't say rural Iowa, but this is really nationwide.
So when you say going on the offense, can you give me specifics on what you're planning?
Yeah, absolutely. We're pretty quick to come after HSUS when they use market tactics, as we did with our video and the press release. I've introduced a Freedom to Farm bill here in Iowa. We've also done resolutions in Nebraska and Iowa. We are aggressively looking for legislation to push the envelope in a pro-ag way. I mean, our goal, like I said, is to stake out and go on the offensive. So we're looking for opportunities to do that throughout the state. We're getting started here, and I think we're going to have some successes.
What would Freedom to Farm do?
Well, it's too late to work on in the session. We're going to be hopefully wrapping up next week. So what it's going to be is a vehicle for the ag industry to rally around and start building a piece of pro-ag business legislation to protect themselves from the likes of HSUS, whether that be protecting them from videos, whether that be just clearly delineating where their liability resides in certain cases here and there. It's going to be pretty, and I look forward to working with a lot of the ag commodity groups to start staking out and figuring out just where their liabilities are on these perspectives.
So you are trying to work with groups in various states on this effort?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We're reaching out to farmers. We're reaching out to groups. We're here to help rural Iowa, rural America. We're here to help the ag industry. We're not interested in ruffling the feathers of the good guys. We simply are interested in going after and making HSUS justify what they're doing.
So you mentioned in the news release here, well, you use the term enough is enough, and you mentioned the fact that HSUS is now trying to get legislation passed on the federal level, of course, with their so-called egg bill in Congress. Are you seeing a shift in their strategy going maybe away from the state level to more the federal level with this?
I think it's less of a shift, and I think what's really more concerning is many people underestimate their multi-prong attack. They will come through market forces by pressuring, large chains to no longer use meat produced certain ways. They will pressure ag through the regulatory process at the federal and the state level. They will go after the states through laws and regulation. You know, it starts as puppy mills, and then it's eggs and chickens, and then it's beef, and then it's hogs. And the reality is they are coming at us from multiple prongs, and we've got to be prepared for that. I think traditionally a lot of the ag industry has been willing to play defense in the legislature and in Congress when necessary, but HSUS and the radicals have adapted. They're coming at us from different prongs, and to think that they will be satisfied with the Ag Act is, I think, probably not realistic. They're going to come at this, and as soon as they get that, they're going to come from a different angle, and they're going to come from another angle, and they're never going to stop. I mean, they have they've clearly stated that their goals are to come after animal agriculture, and we can't sit idly beside and let that happen.
The recent announcement by McDonald's, a joint announcement by McDonald's and HSUS, that McDonald's was going to basically look for phasing out of the gestation stalls, that seemed to be kind of a big game changer, in that McDonald's, up to that point, seemed to be kind of sticking with the scientific approach on these things.
Yeah, and that's a great example there, Ken. Look, I grew up on a farm. Farmers who take care of their animals do better. They perform better. They make more money. These farmers in Iowa and across the nation do a good job of animal welfare and taking care of their animals. And you've got a group like HSUS that comes in and paints us with a bad light and pressures a group like McDonald's into changing the way we do business, and that's absolutely devastating across the board to the industry, and it's not fair to the consumers because it's not accurate information, but it is a visceral, emotional response, and HSUS is willing to exploit that emotional response in the interest of hurting ag, and we've got to stand up and start drawing that line and saying enough is enough.
Are you working with those retailers with your efforts, or?
Right now, we are focused at the legislative level. We're focused on drawing attention to some of the absurdities of HSUS, and we will look for other prongs once we get up and going, but we don't want to bite off too much too fast. So right now, we focus on what we do well, and that's legislation, and really just bringing to light what these guys are up to.
Well, you've got some people saying, society is, things are changing. The consumer is demanding changes, and agriculture has to adapt. I mean, do you think a dig in your heels approach is going to work here?
Well, I don't think it's so much digging in our heels as providing another voice. It's providing another side to the argument. If HSUS wants to make one claim, we think ag needs to have an equally as loud and aggressive voice, and that's what we want to do. The example I always use is here in the Iowa legislature. Puppy mill bills come up. I love dogs as much as anybody else. Heck, I foster Weimaraners from time to time. But HSUS likes to use puppy mills as the first foot in the door, and then they use, then they come after eggs and chicken, and then they start coming after large scale or large animal production. staking that claim out earlier and going to the suburban legislators and saying, this is what this is really going on. This is what is happening with agriculture. This is what's going on in the out in the rural parts of the state. This is what food production is. Sending that message and educating the voters and the legislators as to what's really going on here is essential, or they continue on their emotional march towards eradicating agriculture. Or animal agriculture.
So you're convinced, even though they keep saying, you know, we're only interested in the welfare of the animals and such, that you're convinced that they are trying to put animal agriculture out of business.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have little doubt. What concerns me is, and you know, I've actively for the last few years tried to take some of the suburban legislators here in Iowa and take them to the commodity groups or take them to an ag facility and introduce them to some of the interests throughout the state so that they can start to see the impact some of this legislation has, but furthermore see how intertwined the entire economy in states like Iowa and Nebraska and Texas and Missouri, how intertwined the entire economy is to a healthy ag economy. And I think when you've grown up on a farm like I have and then moved to a suburban area, it's easy to see that connect. But when you grew up in the city and, you know, it's been two or three generations since you've been on a farm, it's hard to see just how interdependent, not just from an economic standpoint, but from a food price standpoint, it's hard to see just how intertwined we are with the healthy ag sector. So I've tried to do what I can to protect the harvest, try to do what we can to start educating the voters and the legislators on just how important it is to push back on some of these really poorly researched and emotional opinions that come out of some of these radical groups.
And finally, just a question on where you get your operating funds. How are you financing your efforts?
We are not for profit, so we have donors. Forrest Lucas is a donor that has been very generous and has also released his name to be public. But none of the board members are being paid. This is a volunteer job for me. This is not something we're doing to get rich. This is something we're doing because it's the right thing to do. And you know, frankly, if we're afraid that if we don't stick up for the ag industry, we're not sure who's going to. So we're willing to go out there and do it, and we're not looking to make money. We're simply looking to educate voters, educate policymakers, and make sure ag has a strong voice.
Eric, I'm out of questions. Anything else we need to know about Protect the Harvest?
No, I just encourage you to visit our website. Like I said, we're not out here to make anybody mad. We're simply here to be an aggressive voice for family farmers and ag industry across the nation. If anybody has any questions, you know, go to the website, check the email out, give us a call, shoot us an email, and we'd love to have people get active and get involved.